Yes, it's a good day for singing a song, and it's a good day for moving along. Yes, it's a good day. How could anything be wrong? A good day from morning till night.
It is a good day, and you're listening to KDWA Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Casey, and today on the line from our nation's capital, we have representative of CD2, Angie Craig. Welcome, representative.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy holiday time. We appreciate your speaking with us on some very important issues. And I understand today is kind of a milestone for you, and that is 6 months to the day that you were sworn in.
Yeah, it's been a busy 6 months. I was sworn in to 12 days into the longest shutdown in the history of the United States. So I've been very focused on building relationships since I've been there. And in fact, 74% of the bills that I've co-sponsored so far are bipartisan bills. So, I just think we need to try a little harder to listen to each other and to work a little harder to work on a bipartisan basis.
Well, you were talking about those bills, 204 of them by my count, and 17 of them that you have introduced, 10 of which have passed the House. Tell me a little bit about that momentum that you've created.
Well, look, I'm looking for areas where I can find bipartisan consensus. And, and we tend to focus in Washington on the things that divide us. And when I'm back home meeting with my neighbors, it doesn't matter what political stripes we come from, I can often find some absolute common ground. And so I've really focused on things like the Local Water Protection Act, which would provide more grant money to fight non-point source pollution. And, it's important for Mississippi River towns like Hastings and those towns up and down my congressional district. Healthcare has been a big focus of mine. I've got one important healthcare bill out of committee so far that would reduce premiums in the individual marketplace by about 10%. And I'm working on a couple of more that are going to increase competition that I'm love to talk to you a little more about.
Absolutely. We're going to get right to those because that is something that touches each and every person. And no matter which side of the aisle you find yourself on, it is going to impact you and your family. Let's talk about the first one, which is H.R. 2000, and that's the Medicare Choice Act of 2019. What is part of that bill and why are you behind it?
Well, the first part of it is it allows Medicare to negotiate with pharma companies for its pricing. It just makes no sense that the largest healthcare provider in the world, Medicare, doesn't have the ability to negotiate its pricing on prescription drugs. And, that's one more way that the brand name pharmaceutical industry is tamping down competition in this country. The other big part of this is one of the challenges we have in the individual marketplace is, of course, my first bill, H.R. 1425, which will address the premiums and reduce them. But the other is just competition. The big health insurance companies, many of them have chosen not to participate in the individual marketplace, especially in more rural counties like Wabasha and Goodhue County, which are both in my congressional district as well. And so, this will open up a public option for folks to buy into Medicare. And I think it's important for increased competition. It won't affect the trust fund. It'll run just like a separate health insurance company would compete. But at the end of the day, Medicare knows how to do health and health insurance. And so why not let people buy into Medicare if that's what will create some competition for big insurance companies?
Why do you think this has taken this long and at the considerable expense of so many hardworking families?
Well, the truth is that health care has become so political, Kelly. In fact, the irony of my health insurance bill that would basically lower premiums is in Minnesota, Republicans are leading the charge on the same idea that I'm leading at the federal level. And the truth is that this is a 10-year-old health law, the ACA. We've got to stop referring to it as the ACA anymore. It is just the way health care is structured in the U.S., and there's some good parts that came with it, like the fact that we now have protections if you have pre-existing conditions. And then there were some things that, frankly, need to be improved out of it. And so, what we need is less partisanship And, you know, the truth is I've met some colleagues in Washington who view stabilizing the health care system today as somehow stabilizing a system that Democrats created. And the truth is it doesn't matter who created it anymore. It's all of our health care system, and we need to work together to fix it.
I appreciate those comments. Once again, we are talking with 2nd Congressional District Representative Angie Craig. We thank her very much for her time today to give us some information, especially about health care. And I know that you have been holding your health care listening tour. And tell us what the response has been to that in your local constituents and what they have to say.
Well, I've done it all across the district. We've had stops in Burnsville, Eagan, Apple Valley, Northfield. We've been down to Wabasha to talk about rural mental health. And, you know, it's an opportunity for me to really listen to folks. And, you know, one of the outcomes of that listening tour has been that I've gone back to Washington to figure out what can I advocate for and work on that will lower the cost of prescription drugs in this country. Because, you know, the conversation we've been having around health care has been about the cost of health insurance, when in fact, one of the reasons the cost of health insurance is rising is because we haven't done anything to address the cost of health care. And so prescription drugs are a particular area of focus for me right now, and that has led me to come back and decide that I'm going to be part of a small group of members who are going to work to try to lower the market exclusivity period for brand name drug companies. In the U.S. right now, a brand name drug has 12 years of market exclusivity, and that prevents generics from coming in and competing. And the facts are that the minute a generic drug is introduced, in 1 year, the cost of the brand name drug goes down 50%. So why wouldn't we work to lower that? And so, you know, I'm proposing that we lower it from 12 years down to 5 or 7. The bill that I'm supporting says 7. But, you know, the question is, should Americans be paying, should Minnesotans be paying for all of the cost of innovation for brand name drug companies around the world? And frankly, I just don't think that's fair to Minnesotans or Americans.
Could you also tell us, just educate us a little bit, for people who are not aware, there's probably, everyone probably has someone who is affected by the, what you call biologic drugs with the long-term exclusivity. How is that going to be turned around, though, and is it coming at the cost of private enterprise?
Well, see, that's the point, is how long do these biologics need to be on the market without any competition? 12 years seems excessive to me. It only takes about 4 or 5 years to recoup and be profitable for these drugs. And the truth is, you know, I ran the health plan for a major Fortune 500 company. We were self-insured. So I literally was the fiduciary responsible for signing the checks to pay the bills on behalf of my 18,000 U.S. employees covered lives under the plan. And 2% of the volume represented 40% of the cost in my own plan at St. Jude. And so that is consistent with other companies around the country. And so, you know, the question is, these biologics, great, they're on the market, but let's have them compete with generic providers much sooner. That's going to drive down the cost of drugs, and may the best company win.
Could I also have you make a comment on the people who are now crossing the Minnesota border, as you know from news of the recent past, they're crossing the border to receive insulin if they are insulin dependent. At the cost of that is prohibitive here, and since the border is very close, there's a lot of Minnesotans that are going to Canada for that drug. Do you have a comment on that?
So one, I'll make a comment at the state level. You know, I was so optimistic that the state law was going to pass that would allow us to provide some emergency insulin. And, of course, you know, Alec and his law and his family, they worked so hard to get it. And I sure hope at the state level it passes here soon. But at the federal level, well, where I'm focused, look, I think every drug, if it's FDA approved and it's offered in Canada, I think we ought to allow Americans to re-import legally their drugs from Canada. And it makes no sense that some of these drugs are a tenth or less of the cost that Americans are paying. So, you know, at the federal level, we could certainly allow that. There is a bill out there that would allow reimportation of drugs with Canada. And, you know, these are FDA-approved drugs. So, you know, my heart goes out to all, you know, type 1 diabetes folks who are battling. I've actually had an entire roundtable on this topic, and it's one of the reasons that I went back to Washington to look for, at the federal level, what could we do to open up more competition and lower the cost of prescription drugs. And, of course, insulin is always at the top of the list.
It certainly is. Once again, we're talking with Angie Craig, representative for the 2nd Congressional District, and it's a very busy time. I think there's a lot of people that are spending their time, holiday, you know, but the things that happen in Washington are just continuing to go on. And I know one of the other main topics that you wanted to make sure we talked about was supporting Minnesota family farmers and the FEED Act. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I'm happy to, and I'm also happy that I was out on a farm in Dakota County here this week during the holiday period, just looking to see for myself if the corn was knee-high by the 4th of July. you know, what farmers told me in this district is we actually are looking better than almost anywhere in the Midwest, and certainly in of all the congressional districts, the corn growers were there and, you know, told me that we're looking better than almost anywhere, which is good news, although we had a lot of rain early in the holiday week, and so, you know, there's a lot of water, and some bent over corn, even though we've got a little bit of height on it. But this is exactly what the FEED Act was described to get at. So it gives farmers and ranchers just an additional emergency harvest flexibility to help alleviate feed concerns. So, you know, for example, we've had such flooding across the Midwest, and in a normal year, you can't harvest for cover crops on prevent plant ground until November 1st. And so South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson and I, we took a look at each of our states, and we said, what can we do as members of the House Committee on Agriculture to give farmers and ranchers that additional flexibility? So we introduced this bill, which would, you know, be good for the environment because it would allow for more cover crops here on prevent plant ground. And in 5 days, we got 27 ag organizations to endorse it. It got the attention of the administration and the secretary, Sonny Perdue. And I'm happy to report that the administration has moved forward, at least for this year, in allowing for that cover crop on prevent plant and harvesting before that November 1 date. So it's going to make a big difference. It allows folks to, you know, to go ahead and make their planning decisions in a thoughtful way. And I'm happy that the administration moved and that we didn't have to wait on Congress to act. Although, you know, I'd like to see the secretary have this authority moving forward. So we'll talk about Dusty and I when we're back in session here in a few days about how we can make sure that the secretary has that authority every year when we have these unusually wet planting seasons.
Our local farmers will be happy to hear that. Also, on the topic of farming, funding for renewable energy and rural broadband deployment is also a hot topic here in our district.
Yeah, it's a big issue across greater Minnesota. I was actually just in Scott County yesterday meeting with a number of county officials about the fiber network they've got in place and just how hard they're working to make sure they've got broadband across the rural areas of Scott County as well. Dakota County, of course, is working to secure the same thing. But this has been a particular issue for me because, you know, I want people to be able to earn a good life and live in the communities that they want to live in. And if we're going to support rural America and greater Minnesota, it's not just about supporting family farmers. It's about making sure that you can start a business, you know, right there in the small town that you grew up in or that you want to live in. And so I was able to secure some additional funding for renewable energy and for rural broadband deployment in a House spending package that just passed here about a week ago. And again, this is, you know, my job is to serve my entire congressional district. We have these beautiful river towns like Hastings, but, you know, what's beautiful about this district is you can be in town and you can, you know, be on a 1,000-acre farm within a few minutes of being in town. And so I'm here to represent everybody. I'm not here to represent any special interests, and so that's what I'm trying to do as a member of Congress.
That is one great segue into our next topic, and I had that queued up as well. And that was what I believe is a unique pledge on your part for the Humble Act. Can you tell us why that is so important to you, Representative?
Well, so first of all, I have pledged never to serve as a lobbyist when I'm not in Congress. What I have learned is that two-thirds of former members of Congress come back and frankly profit from the people that they've served as lobbyists in this nation. And my bill that I introduced a couple of weeks ago would permanently ban members of Congress from serving as lobbyists. And it would also require them to sell individual stocks after being sworn in. You know, I was aghast a week or two ago when a former member of Congress literally was able to put their former congressional pin on and come find me on the House floor during votes to try to get me to come outside and talk to a group of people. And, you know, this is exactly the kind of stuff that makes Americans negative about public officials. And so, look, it's clear to me that members of Congress have not been able to stop themselves from going to work as lobbyists after their service. And so I'd like to pass a law that prevents them from doing it. And, you know, to me, if you're going to support a bill like that, you need to put your action where your mouth is. And so I have committed to never doing so. You know, you didn't ask me about this, but, you know, that this is, you know, this is not a bill that, frankly, some members of my own party are that thrilled about me introducing. Because it's both sides of the aisle that often come back as lobbyists.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for mentioning that, and I appreciate your candor on that. You know, for some reason, I would just love to be able to make this a two-part interview, but obviously you have lots of people you have to connect with during this busy holiday weekend. Before we go, though, I do want to mention, though, that you have mobile offices that you have participated in, and some of your people have made it a very big priority to make sure that people are connected with you. And before we go, can you let us know if there's going to be any more of those opportunities, and where is the best way to connect with you?
Well, we've held 13 mobile office hours, including in Hastings so far. We've got five more planned. And the best way to contact us is to contact my district office. I decided I was going to invest in having a lot of caseworkers on my team, which in help folks with veterans and Social Security and disability and even a passport or a visa. So we got people on the team who are really here just to serve our community's needs.
Well, we appreciate that very much. Once again, you're listening to KDWA's In Depth. I'm Kelly Casey, and we thank very much CD2 Representative Angie Craig for sharing some of her time and thoughts with us, and we hope you have a very great holiday. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you very much.
And it's a good day for shining your shoes, and it's a good day for losing the blues. Everything to gain and nothing to lose. A good day from morning till night. I said to the sun, good morning, sun. Rise and shine today. You know you gotta get going if you're gonna make a showing. And you got the right of way, 'cause it's a good day for paying your bills, and it's a good day for curing your ills. So take a deep breath and throw away the pills, 'cause it's a good day from morning till night.